And we're holding on Mem Hey Amud Aleph, the top line. We started learning yesterday about cases where there's holes in the windpipe of an animal, and we said so far we established that if the hole covers the majority of the circumference of the size of the windpipe, then the animal is going to be terefa. And we talked about two possibilities, roiv ovio or roiv chalala, where roiv ovio would be most of the thickness of it, would be most of the diameter of it, including the thickness of the wall, which is thicker in the front than it is in the back, whereas roiv chalala would just be the majority of the diameter of it, just counting the inside space of it. So the Gemara continues, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Nikva Kenofa. What if you have a bunch of small holes that are like the holes of a sieve? But start from the Ruba, then those count together to make up the Roiv. If all together, if you count them and you have most of the diameter of the windpipe, however in either way that we defined that diameter before, then it's Trefa. So the Gemara says, Mosiv Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says that I have a contradiction. Now, in a number of places in our product, we're taking things from Hilchus, from the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara and applying them to Hilchus Treifas. Again, this goes back to, we talked about at the beginning of the product, Tosfos discusses the question, how similar are the anatomies and the life cycles of human beings and animals? There's a certain similarity between them, so that when we find that something is treifa by an animal, then it can be, we should assume that the parallel thing is considered something deadly in a human being, and vice versa. And therefore, the Gemara will often point out comparisons and contradictions between them. So now we talked about before that if you have a complete skull, or a complete spine of a mess, then that's metamed ba'oichel. If you're under the same roof as it, or you overshadow it, or it overshadows you, then you're tamed. So now we have to talk about, when it comes to a skull, if some of it is missing, how much of it can be missing, and it's still considered a complete skull. So the Mishnah says that when it comes to a skull, if there's one long hole in it, or even if there's a lot of small holes in it, they add up together to make the size of a drill hole. The Mishnah had previously said of a chlokas b'shana b'shilo, if there's one large hole in the skull, how much of it would be considered that now that skull is not metamed ba'oichel? So b'shana had said the size of a drill, and b'shilo says the amount that if you removed it from a living person, then they would die. Which the Gemara actually explains. We'll learn in a Masechta Bechoros in a few months, Bez Hashem, that those two are actually almost the same thing. So now, if you have a bunch of holes, then we're saying it adds up to that meloy makdeach. Alma, so we see from that, kiven de shiura meloy makdeach, since the shear, the amount that if the skull is missing a certain amount of bone, then when you have meloy makdeach, a drill hole size, and then, by the way, of course, there are different size drill holes, the Mishnah goes on to explain that we're talking about a specific kind of drill that they used in the Beis HaMikdash, which made a fairly large hole. The Pashtos, we're not talking about the kind of drill that you would use nowadays, let's say, to put in a nail or a screw or something. We're talking about a larger drill, such as, for example, they have drill bits that you would use, let's say, to cut out, for example, the hole in a door for a knob or things like that. You have larger bits like that. So we're talking about something like that. Anyway, we see, because the shear is meloy makdeach, of the size of a drill, le meloy makdeach mitzvah, from therefore they combine together to make up that amount, even if it's a bunch of small holes. Well, the question is, hachinami, well, shouldn't we say the same thing over here? Why are we saying that it goes according to roiv, kivin de shiur ke'iser? We're going to learn in the next Mishnah in our parak that when you have a hole in the windpipe, the Mishnah says in the next Mishnah on Dafran Dalad that if there's missing from it up to the size of an isar, a type of coin, then up to that point, then the animal is kosher. So why are we saying that it combines together for roy? Look at isar mitzvah. We should say that it combines together to make an isar. So why instead are we talking about roiv? Now, an interesting question that comes into this regard over here is, are we talking about that we consider only the area of the holes, or do we also consider the space between them? Because after all, if you have a bunch of small holes, means inevitably you have, so there's a little bit of intact, and a little bit of intact flesh and muscle and cartilage and whatever between one and the next. Do those count towards it also? Rashi is explaining that they don't count together. And the Rav disagrees and says that they do count together if the space between one hole and the next is smaller than the holes themselves. So let's say, for example, each hole is a quarter inch in size, and between one hole and the next you have an eighth of an inch, for example, and the Ran would say you count those parts between the holes as well, and those count towards what's considered the hole. The Rosh actually explains that even Rashi would agree that there can be a difference between holes where some of the substance is missing and some not. You can have a hole where actual substance of the windpipe or area or other internal organs, as will go on throughout the parak, is missing versus where it's just there's a tear over there, but there's nothing actually missing there. So the Rosh actually learns that Rashi would say that if there's something missing, then he would agree with the Rani. In any case, the point is, why are we talking about Roiv when we should be talking about Isser? So the Gemara says, Ishnitze, Hod Amar of Chelbe, Amar of Chelbe, Bagul, Amar Rav, when Rav Yumi asked this question, he forgot. And by the way, Tosfos points out why are we mentioning Maloy Machdeach, why are we mentioning the size of the drill anyway, if the halacha is like Bishilol over Bishamai, is because Bishamai is saying an actual shear. Bishilol is saying how as much as you would take out from a living person's skull and it would kill him, but there's that it's hard to determine what that is, whereas Bishamai at least is telling us an actual amount. Anyway, the Gemara says, Yishtimitze, Hodu Amar Rav Chelbe, Amar Rav Chelbe, Guru, Amar Rav, Rav Yumiya, in asking the question, forgot what Rav Chelbe said in the name of Rav Chelbe, Guru, in turn in the name of Rav, that there's a difference, exactly that. When you have holes where something is missing, where actual substance of the windpipe is missing, mitzvah from the kisser, then those combine together, and if you have all together, they make up the space, and then iser, then the animal is tzrefa. V'she'en ben chisarim, where there's nothing actually missing, there's a rip over there, but there's nothing actually missing, mitzvah from the ruba, then they combine together to make the roiv. So therefore, so fine. So when Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, mitzvah from the ruba, he's talking about where there's nothing actually missing, where there's nothing actually missing with each of the holes, there's just a bunch of holes, but there's no actual substance missing. In other words, the Gemara, the Tosfos explains, the Gemara had assumed that Rav Yumiya, that Rav Yehuda is talking about both kinds of holes, whether there's chisaron or whether there's not. Because after all, you use the expression kinofa, like a sieve, which implies with a sieve, you have actual substance missing between one hole and the next. You don't just make a sieve by ripping holes in something. You actually have holes where something is actually missing. But no, the reason why he mentions a sieve is just, in other words, it's full of holes like a sieve. But not that it's actually like a sieve in that regard. Which in that case, Tosfos points out that the word ishtemitze, that he forgot, is a little hard to understand, because that's not forgetting, it's a misunderstanding of, it's a surface understanding of what Rav Yehuda is saying in the name of Rav. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Babachana, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Nitlahi Menu Ritzua. Suppose that a strip of substance is missing from the windpipe. So here we're talking about, so far we talked about two possibilities. You can have where there's individual holes, you can have where there's one big hole that covers most of it, and then we said the animal is Shefa or even Nevela. We just said where there's a bunch of small holes, and we distinguished between whether there's something missing in the actual holes or not. How about now you have a strip of flesh is missing along the length of the windpipe. So Rav Rabbahana tells us, Mitzaref is the Isser, it combines together to make up the size of an Isser. In other words, if you were to take that hole and reshape it to make a circle, would that circle be the size of an Isser? Then the animal is Tzreif. Tosfos wonders in that case then why what's the chiddush better he should be talking about where it has holes, and we would understand all the more so where you have a strip, Tosfos leaves the question open. Shittabukobetsis brings from a different collection of Tosfos. You might have thought that after all, when you have a strip over here, we're going to talk about later on when the windpipe is cracked along its length, and there the animal can still be kosher. You would think something like this should be considered like that, and therefore we're told that not. The Gemara says, "Bominer Rabbi Yitzchok ben Achmeni, Rabbi Shobel Levi, Nikra Kenofa Mabel." Again, what would be the din if the windpipe has holes in it like a sieve, which is what we just said before that Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rab, had addressed. So he answers him, "Harei Omru Nekovim Shiyesh Ben Chesodim Mitzdarfam Hakeiser." We already said that if there's substance missing from the holes, then they combine together to make an iser. The shein ben chisorim. If there's nothing lacking, it's tar from the ruba. Then they combine together to make the roid. Why does the Gemara even need to bring? Why does the Gemara even need to bring this? We had this point before. It's not usually the way of the Gemara. Once we already settled something, to bring somebody else who asks the same question. The Gemara doesn't usually do that. Okay. But here it did that. It was maybe an explanation for it. By the way, how you figure the Isser, the Rashba points out, we really don't know how to measure with an Isser, especially because the Isser coin eventually went out of circulation, so therefore he says you should really figure a coin to Roiv. But then Rama asks, wait a minute, the Isser is less than Roiv, so what it means is that, so he talks about that maybe it means that you take the windpipe of a bird and use the majority of that. And then the Shach says that an Isser is in fact bigger than Roiv. So by saying Roiv, then you're saying that you're being machmer because we don't really know the size, and we don't really know the size of an Isser. Next. So the Gemara says, but oifamai, what about when it comes to a bird? What would be the din? So if you have a bunch of small holes by the bird. Now the Rosh points out why is the Gemara mentioning this point over here later on when we have the Mishnah mentioned, the next Mishnah, when it talks about a small hole in the windpipe that doesn't make the animal or the bird chafe, that would be the appropriate place to talk about, and why Dafta is the Gemara asking about a bird. So the Rosh explains that everything that we said so far is obviously talking about an animal, with a large animal. Obviously, smaller animals, we have to scale it down. Well, now the question is that with a bird, how do we measure it? Because then it's going to come out to a very small shear. Do we also then count the holes and even what's between them, like we said before? So therefore, that would be the question. But if by a bird, what would be the din? How do we evaluate it there? So the answer is, I'm Rabbi Yitzchok ben Achmeni, the Didimi Far Shalim Ishmei de Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar personally explained to me that what we do is mekaploi. What we do is we take the part that has the holes in it, and we fold it or we place it. Actually, Rashi explains mekaploi means like to cut it out. So we cut in the area below the holes and the sides of them until we can fold it upward. So we fold it upward. And we take that folded part, that flap, and we put it over the inside of the windpipe. So that way we can compare them. If that flap now covers most of the windpipe, then it will be trefa. Because again, then we have to count not only the holes themselves, but also the area with the hole, also the area between the holes. Again, because they're very close together. And if not, shera, then it will be kosher. So here's an example where we actually do count together the space between the holes as well. And then the question is, part of the question was also, does this apply to a bird? Does this apply to a bird as well? And then in fact, you have the other way of looking at it is maybe that din to apply to include the parts between the holes applies only to birds, not to animals. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us this chiddush by a bird, whereas by an animal, according to that way of looking at it, it would not work. Amar Papa, and in the case of Papa says, V'simonach, the simon to think about it, that you have to go according to Isser or Roiv, like an animal. Nafia, think again, like a sieve, like we've been saying throughout this whole Sylvia. How do you make a sieve? Rashi describes, you take the, take pieces of, you take pieces and you take hair from a horse's tail, for example, and you make a round thing, you make a round thing out of wood or whatever, and then you start putting on it, and then you put over it you take horse's hair and weave it into a loose weave for the sieve, for the actual holes of the sieve itself, and then you place that over the frame, and you place that over the frame, and then you stick it in place. So the same way over here, you're taking the part that has the holes, which is similar to the wheat, to the woven part of the sieve, and you're putting it on top of the conna, on top of the windpipe, which is like putting it on top of that frame. So therefore, so you wanted to know, nikva kenofa, now the answer is that you measure it exactly like when you make a sieve. How about another din? The Gemara says, nifcha sakadelas. What happens now if you have a hole that is like a door? So it's cut in on three, it's cut on three sides and open still on one side. So you have a flap. So just now we described using a flap after the bird is shechted to measure the size of the area with the hole. Now we're talking about if while the bird or the animal itself was alive, if the windpipe was cut in such a way where you have a flap open like a door. Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, in that case, the amount that will make it tref, if he connects isur l'rochboy, if an isur can go in widthwise, meaning, in other words, the regular amount of isur would just be the exact size of the isur itself. Here you need slightly larger because you need room for the isur to be able to go in. And the reason is, it actually says, because after all, here you don't have, there's no substance missing. You have a hole like a door. So therefore, so you need a slightly larger amount. If it's larger enough, for an iser to actually go in, then the bird or the animal will be traced, but not otherwise. Tosfos points out, that's the point. In other words, when we say the rochboy, we don't mean, in other words, the thickness of the coin, which is a lot less. What we mean is the width of the coin, the actual diameter of the coin. The Rif actually brings a different explanation, that nifcha sakadelas means that there's a hole from one side through to the other. So it's like a door that you can go in from one side and go out from the other. And therefore, so now it would be, so instead of doing the width of an isser, here we would do the thickness of an isser, which is much less, because this would be much more stringent, and therefore we have to consider just the thickness of them. So the Shulchan Aruch brings both of them. Okay. How about, the Gemara says another dinistika. What about if you have a crack in it? So there's a little along the length. So there's nothing actually missing, but it's cracked. So Rav says, then we can be very makele. Then if we even have only one chulya at the top and at the bottom, then it will be kosher. We talked about in the first paragraph the structure of the windpipe. It's made up of, you have rings of cartilage. Most of them are incomplete. Most of them are cartilage along the front of the neck and along the sides of it. You can feel it if you feel along your neck, you can feel it a little bit. You can feel like a ring and a space and a ring and a space kind of. So you have most of it. So the whole windpipe is made like that, a ring and then some muscle, a ring and then some muscle. The idea is it makes the windpipe constantly open, but very flexible, sort of like a dryer vent. But anyway, so in one of these neflois abura that Hashem made, that this way the windpipe is always open. And it's also flexible, and you can turn your neck in every direction. In any case, a chulya, like we have in Hilchos Tzitzis, is defined as three together. So if you have, Rav is saying, if you have three rings of cartilage at the top and three at the bottom that are intact, then the animal will still be kosher. So in other words, the difference is, Rashi explains, when you have now here we're talking about specifically a crack along the length of it. So now what happens is, when the animal stretches its neck, so if you have, Rashi explains, if you have a crack horizontally, then the problem is, as the animal stretches its neck, the crack is going to get bigger and bigger, and eventually it's going to be completely ripped apart. As opposed to, here we're talking about a crack along the length of it. So therefore, when it stretches its neck, then the two sides of the crack will be pulled closer together, and so eventually it'll heal. So therefore, all you need is three wings at the top and three at the bottom, and then the animal is kosher. So the Gemara says, "I'm Ruach Kamed Rabbi Yechon," and they told over this halacha, this statement of Rav, to Rabbi Yechon. Omar, and Rabbi Yechon says, Ma Choyo, to call Rav. What is Rav talking about? Choyo? That doesn't depend on the Choyo, it doesn't depend on the ring of the cartilage. Ela Ema, rather, you should say as follows, Afilu Lenishtayaba, Ela Mashu Lamailo, Mashu Lamata Cheder. Even if there's only a tiny bit that's left intact at the top and at the bottom of the windpipe, then the creature should be kosher. So Amruah Kamez Rabbi Yochanan Mishmed Rabbi Yonasan Elchi. So they told over to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yonasan actually said that yeah, all you need is a mashu. Amalhu, and now Rabbi Yonasan was originally from Babel. Rabbi Yochanan lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. Amalhu, so Rabbi Yochanan tells them, Yadin Chavrin Bavloi, our colleagues in Babel, namely Rabbi Yonasan, know Leforushi Ki Haytama. They know to explain according to this reasoning. You don't need a complete chulya of three wings to be intact. It's good enough that you have any amount intact on the top and on the bottom. And again, as the animal stretches its neck, then it will get together and it will get together and it will heal. The poskim do explain that the shiur lamaila and lamata both have to be in places in the windpipe which are kosher for shechita. So here we talked about before, there's a certain place above, and we're soon going to talk about a place below which are not kosher for shechita anymore. Above we have the whole discussion about the shipui koiva, the thyroid cartilage, and all, and the tabas agdola, the large ring on top, the first ring, which is actually a complete ring, unlike all the other ones, and they talk about in the first perek where the shchita is kosher and those are not. So it has to be that the area that's intact has to be not just those areas that are possible for shchita, but also the part that's kosher a little bit. But once you have that, a little bit on top and on bottom, then it's good enough. We have in general when there's a halacha when there's machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, and so it is over here that the halacha is you just need a little bit intact on top and on bottom. Having talked about the windpipe, let's talk about the area of the windpipe that's kosher for shechita. So again, we talked about it a lot in the first parak in connection with hagrama of the psul of shechita in the wrong place. And now we're going to talk about it further. So the Gemara says, "Tonan appear by Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yechanan, appear by Yosef for a brayse in front of Rabbi Yechanan, kolat tzava kolay kosher l'shechita. The entire neck of the animal is kosher for shechita." Tzavos specifically means the front of the neck, because we learned earlier in the Masechta, you daft back the sheft from the front of the neck, not from the back. You sheft it from the sides, we said b'dieved it's kosher. But the entire neck is kosher for shechita. This, by the way, when you have people sometimes say that that you can't eat giraffes because you don't know where to sheft them, that's not so. You see over here that Abba with a giraffe, you'd have a much larger area in which you could sheft. And he says, mitabas agdola, it can be all the way from the tabas agdola, which is that top ring, which completely surrounds the windpipe right below the thyroid cartilage. And medically, that complete ring is called the cricoid cartilage. All the way. And in fact, actually, we learned in the first paragraph there were even opinions which were accepted by halacha. Rashi points out that it's kosher even above that. But in any case, the Rabbi Yehuda Yosef's Braise is saying from there, until the lower wings of the lungs. We're going to learn later on, Daf Mem Zayin in particular, about the structure of the lung and the various lobes that it has. So those lobes are called its wings. So now we're saying that you can go until there is considered the neck and therefore is kosher for shechita. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, when we say tachtona, when we say the lower lobes of the lung, do we mean lower as in deep inside the body? Of course not. It says tachtona shehi el yona. It means the one that when you shecht an animal and then you hang it up to skin it, and to cut it open and whatever, then you're hanging it upside down. You hang it by its legs and its head hangs downward. So tachtona, it's the lowest one. At that point, shehi el yona, but really, actually, it's the highest one when you're holding the windpipe with the lungs attached to it. Then this lobe would be the top one, because you're holding it in the direction that it was more or less when the animal, and the same thing with a person, was alive. So that would be the definition. Don't think it means the lower lobe deep inside the chest. It means the lower lobe, as in when you hang up the animal, it's the lowest one that hangs down at that point. But and then Rava says Shani Oima, because I would say the definition of what's the proper area of shechita in the windpipe, kosher by shechita savara v'roya, when any part where it sticks out its neck and grazes. In other words, an animal's neck is usually, you know, you have the neck, and then you have sometimes it stretches its neck forth in order to eat. So in other words, now you have there's part of the windpipe. So when the animal is holding its neck in the normal position, there'll be a fair amount of the windpipe that's lower down between the lobes of the lung. But then when it stretches its neck, it stretches the windpipe along with it, and more of the windpipe comes out of the area between the lobes of the lung. That area would still be kosher. As long as it's not forced. Meaning, if a person forces it and pulls its neck, Rashi would say, "Bidei Adam," a person pulls its neck more than it should be, and therefore causes that the windpipe comes out more from among the lungs than it normally should be. That part of it still would not be kosher for Shvita. So in Shulchan Aruch it brings from Rabbeinu Yerucham, what you do is you figure out when you inflate the lung. We're going to learn later on in the Perek that there are times you need to inflate the lung to check for various problems with it. So when you inflate the lung, then when you have the part where the lobe of the lung touches the windpipe, then that's the point. That's exactly the point where when the animal was alive and its lungs are inflated because it breathes, then when if it pulls its neck normally, then that's the point where the lobes of the lung will reach when the animal is alive as well, without its neck being forced, and therefore we're saying that area is kosher for shechita. Now here we're talking about eventually to honest, as long as it's not forced. To by somebody pulling out its neck. So boy of Khanina, be tamer of Khanania, said of Khanino, some said of Khanania, asked the question, what about if it's not a person pulling it? Onsa atzma mahu. What if the animal itself pulled out its neck more than usual? But at the time of shita, maybe it was trying to get away from the knife or whatever, and therefore it pulled out its neck and extended its neck much more than normal. So now again, you have a part of the windpipe that comes out there, which normally would be between the lungs. What if he shechted in that area? Would that work? Or would we say that it's teva? So according to Rashi, the question is, if it pulled out its neck at the time of Shchita. Tosfos says, let's say, for example, there's some grass inside a pit. There's some grass or vegetables inside a pit, and the animal notices and it really, really, really wants to get to it. So it pulls out its neck more than normal in order to get that. Is that considered the amount of windpipe that comes out between the lungs from that? Would that be an area that's kosher, that's kosher to shecht? So he wants to take, but we can't be sure, and therefore we have to be machmer on it, of course. Okay. The Gemara continues. Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish were one time sitting together. Nafak milsa debinayhu, and the following point came out from between them. In other words, like they said it, and we're not even sure which one said it. It's like maybe they both said it together. Onas b'simanim. More on this topic. If a person were to pull out the simanim and force them beyond their normal places. Now, we're not talking about where they got detached from their places. That we talked about yesterday. That's a different matter. That's ikur simanim. Here, we're not talking about they didn't actually get detached from the muscles and ligaments and whatever that hold them in place. We're just talking about, in other words, that he pulled the animal's neck forcefully more than normal. The shachat, and then he shechts in this part of the windpipe that would normally be between the lobes of the lung, psula, then the shchita is possible. It seems to be saying the same thing as Rava says. So we'll talk about in a second. The Prima Godim has Shulchan Aruch has a few different possibilities of what we mean over here. It continues. If the windpipe has a hole in it below the chest. And we'll talk about in a second what the definition of the chest is for this purpose. Nidin Kareya, then already at that point it's considered like the lung. Namely, the lung, if it has a hole of any size, is possible, as opposed to all this time we've been talking about as far as the windpipe, that there can be holes in it and it's still fine. But once you get to this point of the chest, then already it's not considered the windpipe anymore. Now it's considered the lungs, and even a small hole will make it possible. So the Prima Godim summarizes that according to Rashi and Tosfos, you have a few different halachas over here. You have the part of the windpipe that sticks out when the animal stretches out its neck is certainly good for shchita.
Even, let's say, according to Rashi, it would even be fine if it's that it stretches its own neck, let's say, to find to eat a vegetable in a pit, like Tosfos said, then it would still be fine. Then you have the part that, what about if it sticks it out only at the time of Shchita? That was a question of Teku. And then you have the part only when it fully forces the animal to extend its neck. That would be possible for Shchita. And then in that case, Rabbi Yochanan, and in that case, when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying that the part that goes out when the Shchita forces them, that would be, indeed, it would be the same thing as what Rava says, according to Rashi. Tosfos again says that, no, we're talking about where the animal itself forces its neck to go and find vegetables to eat. So the Prima Gadim says that according to Tosfos, what we would have is that no, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, I would say that altogether you have four halachas. The part that sticks out normally when the animal normally eats, that's kosher for Shchita. The part that sticks out when the animal extends its neck at the time of Shchita is no good. So unlike Rashi, who says that would be the suffix, Tosfos is saying that part of the Prima Gadim explains, Tosfos would say that's for sure not good. The part when it stretches out its neck to eat vegetables in a pit, that would be the suffix of Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Chananya, and it's left as Teku. And then you have a fourth din, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying that if a person pulls out the kana, pulls out the windpipe, not pulls it out literally from the animal, that would make it nevelim, but in other words, pulls it out more than it would normally be, then that area that he exposes is possible for Shchita. So now, Rava was after Rabbi Yochanan, he would be adding that even if it sticks out its neck on its own doing Shchita, then also it would be possible. So according to the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying again, and then Rava in the next generation added to it. Okay. The Gemara continues now that we mentioned the chaza, the chest of the animal, so we have to define what chaza is for this purpose. This is also relevant, this is more relevant as far as we know that from a shlomim, you give the chaza of a shoik, the chest and the foreleg of the animal, or not the foreleg, shoik is the hind leg rather, you give the chest and part of the hind leg of the animal of a shlomim to a kohen. So what ezo chaza, how do we define the chaza for that purpose? Zehod roya sakarka, this is the part that sees the ground, meaning in other words, so you have the animal's neck is angled, so that part you can't say directly sort of sees the ground, but you have also when you have below that it starts seeing the ground. It would be more or less the area that they have. They call that cut of meat the brisket. But it also means, in other words, that you have then the sides of the animal as well. Those are not part of the chaza, only the bottom part which actually faces the ground. So not where you have to. So now where Rashi describes, you don't have to break any of the ribs or something like that. It just means, in other words, you have the bottom fat, or the bottom meat, which is just attached to the cartilage in front of the ribs. That's called chaza for this purpose. So again, it's more or less what they call nowadays a brisket. Lamata adatzar. So how do you define it? Lamata, so below, meaning when the animal is hung up after you shechted it, adatzar, then that extends until the neck. Lamaila, upwards, meaning again when the animal is hanging upside down, adakeres, then that area goes until the first stomach of the animal. For chosech shteid tzvos, mishteid funis, elach elach. And you also, when you're cutting out this chaza to give to the kohen, you also cut out two ribs on each side of the animal. From the two sides, so when we say so two ribs altogether, meaning one rib on each side, that's according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, it actually means two ribs on each side. Now Tosfos points out when we talk about in the Sefer Tamid, when we talk about cutting up an oila to burn on the mizbeach, there you don't have ribs attached to the chaza, but here we're talking about what you give to the kohen does include the ribs as well, one rib on each side. According to Rashi, two ribs on each side. According to Tosfos, This would be the chaza that's given to the kohenim from a shlomim together with the shoik. Many gemaras will have a diagram over here to show exactly what it is. So it's the brisket plus the first two ribs, basically. Okay. Next. The next thing the Mishnah had said among the tzeifas, nikaf krum shomayach. We said if there was a hole in the membrane of the if there's a hole in the membrane around the brain. So the Gemara says now there's more than one membrane around the brain. In modern medicalese, they talk about three layers. There's an outer one which is parchment-like called the dura mater.
matter, mater, I don't know whatever how that's pronounced. But then you have, below it is one that's basically a network of blood vessels, and it's called the arachnoid mater. And then you have, below that, is one that's stuck tightly to the brain, kind of like saran wrap, and it's called the pia mater. Here the Gemara is focusing on the dura mater and the pia mater. It's not really focusing on the arachnoid, the pastus, because it's a network of blood vessels, so it's not really a separate layer of its own, sort of. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel d'Amru Tavai, Rav and Shmuel both explain, when we talk about it here, about a hole in the membrane around the brain, making the animal treif, karma ilah, what we mean is the upper membrane, the dura mater, that tough parchment-like one. Here is, by the way, where Tosfos points out at the beginning of the Perek that this may be one of those cases where there is a difference between treifas of people and animals, because in a person, not necessarily is a hole in that membrane or in the skull above it make him unable to live, whereas with an animal it does. So they're saying that even just the outer layer where it has a hole in it, then already the animal's treifa. The reason is, and the Aruch HaShulchan explains, if already the outer one has a hole in it, and that's tougher, then for sure, eventually, the inner one, the Pia Mater, is also going to end up getting a hole in it as well. And they say, Afa Gabla, Inkiv Tata, even though the lower one, the Pia Mater, that's actually stuck to the brain, is not does not have a hole in it, nevertheless the animal is treifa. The Amrila, others say that no, and that Rav and Shmuel are saying, add the Inkiv Tata, that it would be a problem only if the lower membrane, only if the Pia Mater is also has a hole in it. So according to that second version, it would only be Treifa, only if both of them, only if both of them had a hole in it. So in other words, it would be like other things that have two layers that we learned about before, where one layer alone having a hole in it is not necessarily a problem. Okay, let's define what that lower layer is. Omer b'shmo b'nachmeni v'simonach. You simen to know what that lower layer is. Chaisa d'mitnach b'moicha. It's like the sack in which the brain lies. So in other words, the idea is the upper one does not surround the brain on all sides. The lower one does. It's stuck to the entire surface of the brain all around. Omer Rav Rabbahana, Omer Rabbi Shulam Levi. So Rav Rabbahana explains to us in the name of Rabbi Shulam Levi. It might be a little hard to see, because you look at the brain of an animal, or a person for that matter, it may be a little hard to distinguish it, because it's almost see-through, and it's very hard to tell where it ends and where the brain begins. So Rav Rabbahana tells us, Kinegda bebeitzim nikar. You would be able to see more easily the two layers if you looked at the testicles of a male. There you also have two layers, and there it's much easier to see the distinction between the inner layer and the testicles themselves. The same way over here, you can learn from that and draw an analogy from that to be able to recognize the krumah tachton, the inner layer from the brain itself. Okay. Now, we have to talk about, now, so you have the brain consists of nerve tissue, and eventually you have at the back of the brain, it goes directly into the spinal cord, and from there you have nerves that branch out to the whole body. So we have to understand at what point does the brain end and the spinal cord begin. Whereas we learned in the Mishnah, if the spinal cord is cut, then the animal is treifa. But we have to, on the other hand, with the brain, then there are stricter dinim. So we have to define where one ends and the second one begins. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Moyach, what is considered the brain for this purpose? Where again, even a small hole in the layers of it is going to make the animal treifa. Kol mashe b'kedera, is everything that's in the pot, meaning in other words the actual skull itself. It's shaped sort of like a pot, so therefore we call it a pot. Nidin kamoya, all of that is considered like the brain itself. Hischel limshech, but once it starts extending outward to the spinal cord, nidin kuchota shedra, then already it has the din of the spinal cord, and only if most of it is cut, as we're going to learn further on the days, then the animal would be treif, and a small hole is not going to be a problem. So now we have Omehechen Masko. Well, at what point does that begin? So at what point do we consider that's beginning to extend, and therefore it's not considered the brain anymore? Omehechen Masko Limarcha. From what point do we say that it begins to extend? So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Benachmeni, Rabbi Dimi, Farshali, Mishmeder, Rabbi Shurban Levi. Rabbi Shurban Levi personally explained to me, it's like this. You have to look at, There are two bean-like structures at the back of the skull. The pullen usually means beans. It actually over here translates it with a French word, which means something like acorns. So you're talking about something like long and rounded. So therefore, so the rule would be mina pullen vilifnim. Anything further in than the pullen, vilifnim is considered like further in, is considered like the brain itself. Mina pullen vilachotz. Anything from the pullen outward in the direction of the spine, kilachotz, is considered like outside. Or pullen atzman, but he says as far as the area of the pullen themselves, if you have a hole or a defect or whatever over there, he says any day, I don't know what you would consider it. Almost fabric vilifnim, more logically you would consider it like the inside, and therefore the animal or the bird would be treif to be on the safe side. What are the pullen? So there are two major explanations among the Rishonim. One is you're going from the skull to the spine. You have to the neck has to be able to turn freely. So in order for that to happen, you have two little bones over there called the condyles. So basically, you have then the first vertebra, the top vertebra of the neck. Is connected to those, not connected to, but whatever, it goes into it, inserts into those condyles, and therefore in that way the neck is able to turn freely. So then the idea would be the pullen would be the condyles, and we would say when you reach that point, then it's not considered the brain anymore, then at that point it's considered the spine, the spinal cord. The other way of understanding it is that the pullen refers to part of the brain in that area that has a rounded shape to it. The two parts of the brain over there that have rounded shapes, sort of. In particular, there's an area of the brain over there that has to do with sight, that are where those parts are sort of rounded, and therefore they kind of resemble pulling. So the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yumi Bodek Ba'oi, for Rabbi Yumi, one time checked in a bull, Ba'ashka, Kamin Shnei Pullin, Menachon Api Akhtera, and indeed he found two pullin at the entrance to the skull, and therefore now we know what the pullin are. So now one point is, if we're talking about the condyles, then a bird really only has one. But that one has a groove running down the middle of it, and therefore the point is it still counts as two. But again, the other way of looking at it is we're talking about a structure within the brain itself. Then a bird has those structures as well. The point would be, in other words, that by a bird, or the point according to that would be that by a bird, it's easier to find them than it is by an animal. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Nikav Alev Leves Chalalev. We said another treifa would be if the heart has a hole into its cavity. Meaning, in other words, we said it's not enough to make it treifa if the cavity only extends partway through the muscle of the heart. It would have to go all the way through. So the Gemara says, Boyer of Zera. So Rav Zera has a question. Now, there's more than one cavity in the heart. In modern medicalese, they talk about that there are four major cavities. You have the two ventricles, and then above them you have the two atria. And then the blood circulates, so the blood goes in, the blood comes into the, from the lungs, deoxygenated into one of them, and then it gets, it goes to the lungs from there and gets oxygenated, is brought back to the other half, and the other half pumps it throughout the body. So, but here the Gemara is going to be talking about in terms of two cavities in it, because we're focusing mainly on the ventricles. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it mentions in terms of three, because really, depending on how you cut open the heart, you can visualize them as three instead. Anyway, Boy Reb Zeira said, Reb Zeira has the question, the base hollow cotton or the base hollow gobble? Are we talking about that the hole extends to even the smaller chambers of the heart, or in other words, the atria, which are on top and are smaller, or the base hollow gobble, or do you have to mean to the big cavity, the ventricle? Amalei Abai asked him, "Mighty Boilach, what's the question? Miloi Tnan, don't we learn in the Mishnah when it comes to the lung,
where the Tanakama had said that a hole in the lung is, makes the animal treif, and Reb Shimon had said, Ad shetinok v'vesa simponis, that it's treif only if the hole extends all the way to the simponis, the bronchi, the large branches of the windpipe that go into the lung. And which simponis do we mean? That Reb Shimon would be saying only if it reaches the simponagodol, the large bronchus in the lung. So in other words, you have the windpipe. The windpipe divides into two parts, one to each lung. And then the lung itself, as we're going to talk about later on in the perek, is divided into different lobes, and you have the wind. You have the air pipes over there get smaller and smaller, and then until you have at the end of them, you have the little alveoli, the little areas where gas exchange actually takes place, where the blood gets oxygenated. But in any case, so you have the place where it divides into the two lungs. You have a large branch that runs down into the lung, and so we're explaining, according to Reb Shimon, only if the hole in the lung reaches all the way over there, then the animal would be treif. Now fine, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon, but still we can derive from that when we talk about a simpon, when we talk about a branch or a bronchus or whatever, we're talking about the large one. Well, the same way over here, when we say that there's a hole into the cavity of the heart, it has to be the big one. It has to be the ventricles and not the atria. But the Gemara asks, Hachi Hashta, how do you compare those two things? How do you think there's any comparison? Hosam l'beis ha-simponis, Katani. There, Reb Shimon is saying that if the hole is until the beis ha-simponis, until the area of the bronchi, and that means in plural, l'hecha d'shachri simponis, kulu, so it means the place where all the smaller branches all pour their air into the one. In other words, how do you have it? You breathe in, and the air is going throughout the lung, throughout all the bronchi and then things of the lung, and then as you breathe in and out, then the air is traveling between those smaller branches and these larger branches which connect up with the windpipe. So beis ha-simponis would be the place where they all join together, namely the big bronchus within each lung. But over here, lebeis chaloli katani, the Mishnah after all says to its cavity. So what do we care? Mali cholo god or mali cholo cotton? What's the difference? Whether the big cavity or the small one? Either way, the animal is going to be treif if there's a hole that reaches from any of the cavities of the heart to the outside. So that's it. So it means, in other words, so a hole in the heart in any place that goes out into the body, into the inside the body, into the body cavity, is going to make the animal treif. Okay. Now, what about knei halev? What about the pipe of the heart? The word kone basically means a pipe. So until now we've been talking about kone, meaning the windpipe. Now we're talking about kone to mean a blood vessel. We'll define soon what that is. So that, if there's a hole in it, how big does the hole need to be for the animal to be treifa? Rav Amar b'Mashehu, Rav says, if there's even a small hole in that, then the animal will be treifa. Shmuel says only if most of the diameter of it is cut. Okay, hey niu knei halev. What is the knei halev? Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak. Amar Rav chelev shal gabei defanes. This is the fat that runs along the. This is the fat that runs along the body wall of the animal. So here, the word is chelev over here, and usually chelev means fat that you can't eat, but Rashi points out over here, it doesn't mean fat that's also to eat, it just means it's actually a pipe that's covered with fat. In English, it's called the aorta. This is the major blood vessel that brings blood into the heart, so that's called knei halev over here. The Gemara says defunis sakadai. What do you mean? You're talking about the sides of the animal. Defunis usually means the lower half of the animal. What does that have to do? If you have the fat over there, why would that be essential to the chela, to the life of the animal? Ella al gabi defne reya. What it means is it runs along the walls of the. It runs along the walls of the lung. So in other words, you have between the two lungs. Rashi describes it goes between the two lungs. It's attached to the
It's attached to the spine. You have a large blood vessel that runs over there, and that's what we mean by kneha, and it's covered with fat, and that's what we're talking about over here. That's the kneha lave that we're talking about over here, where you have this machlokas, how large a hole in it would be a problem. So the Gemara continues. Amar Amem Meshmed Rav Nachman Tlosa Kani Havu. There are three pipes in that area that are significant over here. So there are three pipes. It actually explains that after the windpipe comes into the chest, then it splits up into three. We're going to talk about it soon. There's a lot of different explanations about what's going on over here because the windpipe does not. Here we're talking about. On the one hand, we're talking about air pipes, but we're also talking about blood vessels, and they don't connect together. So, but first, let's learn what the Gemara says, and then we'll talk about the anatomical meaning of it. So, tlosakani havu. There are three pipes that are relevant over here. Chad parish leliba. One branches off to the heart, and that would be the knei halev, the aorta that we just talked about. The chad parish lereya. Another one splits off to go to the lungs, and then it divides over there into the bronchi, the symponus over there that we said. The chad parish lekavda, and the third one branches off to the liver, and is called in medicalese the vena cava. So on the face of it, Rashi is saying that these all branch off the windpipe. Anatomically, it's not so. I mean, the windpipe carries air. The other ones carry blood. It's not really the Matthias. So there's a variety of different explanations what's going on over here. It can be there are different explanations among Rishonim what these three branches are, and there are some of them that explain that actually the Gemara does not mean that they branch off from the windpipe like Rashi says, but rather just in that area in the center of the chest over there, you're going to find three pipes that are relevant as far as the dinim that we're going to talk about. So how do we distinguish between them? Dereya kereya, the one that goes to the lungs, has the din of like the lung, in the same way as even a small hole in the lungs makes it treif, the same way even a small hole in that first one, the one that goes to the lungs, the bronchi, is also going to make it treif. The kavda, the one that goes to the liver, the vena cava, the major vein in the body, has the din of the liver, and just like with the liver, we learned in the Mishnah that even if most of it is missing, the animal is still kosher. The same way with this, if much of it is missing, the animal is still kosher, and it's only a problem if all of it is removed. We learned briefly before, and we're going to learn in detail later on, that actually even with the liver, there has to be a certain amount of it left. So in that connection, then would it mean over here that the same thing, only if most of it is left? Okay. The liba pligi, and when it comes to the one of the horns, then we have the machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we said before. The Gemara says, Mar Barachia masni ipcha. Mar Barachia, on the other hand, taught the other way around. De rea tekavda, the one that goes to the lung has the din of the liver. That's only if most of it is gone. So the same way over here, the knei hareya, the branch that goes to the lungs would only be treif only if most of it is gone. Havda kareya, on the other hand, the one that goes to the liver, the vena cava, would have the din like the lung. Even a small hole will make it treifa. And the reason would be obviously because then you have the blood is going to leak out of it. The liver pligi, and the one of the heart, as we said before, there's a machloikas, what it would be. Rashi says the halacha is like the first loshen, because we said before, Rav Yochanan flat out said that anything that on Omer Aleph, we said that when you have a hole in the windpipe below the chest, then it really is considered like the lung. However, on the other hand, Tosfos said the fact is the Gemara doesn't say who the halacha is like. And Rav Yochanan's din also, when he talks about the koneh having a hole, he doesn't distinguish between these various things, so we have to go lechumra, and all three, the result would be that all three of them, if there's a hole of any size in them, then the animal would be treifa. Again, when we talk about these pipes, besides the point that, again, we may define these three pipes, as we said, and said they're not actually connected to one another, they're just all in the same general area, there's different other possibilities. Another possibility is that one of them, the one that we say that goes to the lungs, is called the pulmonary artery, the one that supplies blood to the lungs themselves.
So there's a few different possibilities of what pipes we're talking about over here. Okay. In any case, so we have two different versions of what the din is with these various pipes. So the Gemara says also the Chiya bar Yosef for Omer l'Shmaita de Rav Kamei de Shmuel. So the Chiya bar Yosef went and told what Rav had said, that even a small hole in the Knei Halev, in the Aorta, makes the animal chafer, and he told the Sova Kamei de Shmuel in front of Shmuel. Omer le, but Shmuel says, I hochi Omer Abba, if this is really what Abba said, and we talked about before, whether Abba means is Rav's actual personal name, or whether it's a title of respect to him, he says, well, Yodav is Trefus for Leiklum, then he obviously doesn't know anything about Trefus. In other words, So he's saying it can't be that Rav actually said that, because now Rashi says that actually Rav was located in Surah and he taught that over there. Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva in Nahadah, so Shmuel may not have known that. What Rav really said, so he didn't really know what Rav said. He only knew it from the report over here, from what he was told. But he's saying, he's dismissing it and saying that can't possibly be correct, because anybody who says that doesn't know anything about Trefus. Nevertheless, though, then we have the general rule when the halacha, when you have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav, and so it is over here. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Nishbar Shedra, we said if the spine of the animal is broken and the spinal cord is cut. Like Rashi had said on the Mishnah, the spine itself is not a vital organ. So if it's broken, there's no problem in and of itself. But the problem is that the spinal cord runs through the vertebrae. So therefore, if the spine is broken, then generally the spinal cord is going to get damaged as well. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. If the spinal cord is mostly cut through, then the animal's chafe divrei Rebbe. That's what Rebbe says. The spinal cord, so you have it's a bundle of nerves that comes down from the brain, and from it that you have branches of nerves branch off from it as it goes down, as we're going to talk about later in the Gemara. And through that, every part of the body is able to move through the electrical signals that it gets from the brain through the nerves. So now, if the spinal cord is cut, basically anything below that point is going to be disconnected. You have, for example, nowadays, you have a spinal fine, a person is in a car accident or whatever, and they break their neck, and the spinal cord is broken over there, then it means that they're quadriplegic. They can't move their hands and feet. Sometimes they even need an iron lung to be able to breathe, because the nerves that make their lungs move won't even work. So here we're saying, if the foot asheder is mostly cut through, then the animal is safe. Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yaakov Omer afilu nikav. Rabbi Yaakov says, even if it just has a hole. And the Gemara says, even though Rebbe himself held it's only if it's mostly cut, Hoira Rebbe ki Rabbi Yaakov, one time a case was brought to Rebbe, and he actually passed in l'chumra like Rabbi Yaakov. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbona, ein halacha ki Rabbi Yaakov, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov, and you don't have to be concerned about a hole over there. Okay, well, Rebbe says Rubai, the Kama Rubai, how do we define most of it? Rav Amar Roiv Oiv, it means most of the membrane around the spinal cord. The spinal cord is surrounded by a membrane. It's called in English the meninges, I think. Meningitis is an infection of that, or the meninges around the brain. So if most of that skin, most of that layer around it is cut, even if the spinal cord itself has not been damaged, then nevertheless the animal would be trefa. And the idea is because that layer protects the spinal cord. If it's cut or there's a hole in it or whatever, then infection is going to get in there, and pretty soon the spinal cord is going to be damaged. The Amrilah Roiv Moishle, others say that no, it means most of the actual substance of the spinal cord itself. So then it would be the other way around. If that's cut, if that marrow of it is cut, even though the meninges around it are intact, then still the animal would be chafa. So the Gemara says, Manda Amar Roiv Moichai, the opinion that says if most of the inside of the Moyach Koshekin Roiv Oivai, all the more so, that opinion would say that if most of the membrane around it is cut, then that would be tefer, because that protects the stuff inside. Lamanda Omar Roiv Oire, but the opinion that says most of its skin, well, on the other hand, the question is Roiv Moche Mai, according to that opinion. What if it was most of the moyach, most of the actual spinal cord that was damaged? Mai, what would be the din? Would we say that it's only that's only the skin, only the meninges that are a problem, or would it be both of them? In other words, Tosfos teaches out the question. You could say that maybe that opinion that says Roiv Oire would say also Roiv Moichai, and the reason it mentions Roiv Oire, that even by the skin, even by the meninges, you have to have Roiv in order for it to be a problem. Or Rabbeinu Tam then explains that it can mean. The question is, do we need both in order for it to be tefa? Most of the spinal cord and most of the skin, the meninge around it. The reason why we mention that skin is because that would be the ikker. But so I have to have both of them cut in order for it to be tefa. So what would be the din? So the Gemara says Toshma, so we can prove the Amar Nivli, Amar of Hona, Nivli, or Liuli, or however you pronounce his name, because the name of a Chacham says the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Ruboi Sha'omru. When we talk about Roiv Oire, what we mean is the majority of that skin, of that membrane around it, Moyach Zel, like my level emerged, but as far as the actual marrow, the actual substance of the spinal cord itself, like Malavalay murdered, it doesn't make a difference. And the reason it doesn't make a difference is because even if some of that is damaged, nevertheless it can regenerate and it can heal as long as the meninges are intact. So the Gemara says in that connection, Rav Nosson bar Oven, have a Yosef Kameh de Rav. Rav Nosson bar Oven was one time sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav. Bodak Beroiv Oire. He was checking about the skin. He was checking about that membrane. Because Bodak Beroiv Moche, and he was also checking to see about most of the moyach. Omalei, so Rav tells him, Roiv Oire Kayim, as long as most of the meninges are intact, moyach zeh inam ha'ilad v'leh moyred, then the inner marrow doesn't make it better or worse. So it doesn't matter. Even if most of that is cut, then nevertheless it can heal because the meninges that protect it are intact, and therefore the nerves will be able to heal and regenerate. Now, with that said, though, we're talking about it being cut. Now, there are various other things that can happen to that. Marrow. So those we'll talk about next. So those we'll take up tomorrow, Hashem.